doing some preaching around the area in Michigan and Indiana, and very excited to be here with you guys today to begin this new series with you. We're over the course of May, you'll have five different guest preachers who are all either Timothys of the church or former ministers of the church to share with you about this idea that Andy has given to us of resetting influence. And I'm really excited to be here first because I know some of those guys and I don't want to have to follow them. And I'm also super excited because a lot of those guys asked me to come fill in for them while they're here. So I'm very happy to be able to go fill in for those guys so that you can enjoy them later this month. We are all of us influencers. I know that term has kind of gotten hijacked by social media. When we hear the word influencer, it's usually after social media, influencer. But we are all of us influencers. In fact, every person influences someone else. There are very few things in the universe more true than that. You are an influence on someone else. Kalkaska Church of Christ has been a huge influence on my life. I was baptized here in this church, although not in this building. I preached my first sermon at Kalkaska Church of Christ, and I'm super glad that there were no recordings of that. I baptized my first person in the Kalkaska Church of Christ. And in 2002, I was ordained to the ministry by the Kalkaska Church of Christ. And some of my greatest influences have come out of this congregation, women of valor and men of wisdom, whom I still admire when I think about this church. I cannot help but think about some of these people, some of whom have passed on, some of whom are still with us. I think about Sunday school teachers like dear Helen Hall. I think about great elders in this church. I think about people who taught me an appreciation for music like Jeanette Brower, who wishes I would have stayed with my piano lessons a little longer than I did. And the Precious Memories Quartet, who instilled in me a love for that gospel music. I'm so thankful. I don't know that I've ever said this out loud, but I'm so thankful for the church library and for Jeannie Lancer that influences my love of reading still to this day. I'm thankful for youth ministers like Don Brown and Tim Watkins. I'm thankful for the influence of kindness from this church. And when I think of kindness, no name springs to mind faster than Al Triplett. You embody kindness, sir, and I am so appreciative of you. I'm so thankful for the encouragement that I've received from so many of you, that I and my family have enjoyed from so many of you. Especially, I am thankful today for Doc Hodgman and for Karen and for the encouragement that you gave me growing up and my family growing up, and still that you give my family today. Thank you, Doc. And we need people who influence us in all of these ways. We need people who will influence us, especially through encouragement. There is no greater influence that we can receive than encouragement. It will stick with us longest. It will shape us best. It will mold us most true when we are influenced through encouragement. Encouragers are influencers, and if you want to be an influencer, a good one, you need to learn to be an encourager. So today, as we talk about resetting influence, I want to share with you about influencing through encouragement, which is something that God longs for His people to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says this: "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So how shall we encourage, friends? How shall we influence through encouragement? Well, when I think of this in terms of the Bible, we have to deal with a man by the name of Joseph, whom is maybe the greatest encourager of all time, at least as the Bible gives us the story. His name is Joseph of Cyprus, but you probably know him better as Barnabas. friend of Paul. Barnabas was Paul's traveling companion for several years and helped Paul establish churches throughout Greece and Asia Minor, what we would think of today as Turkey. But Barnabas actually gets onto the pages of Scripture prior to the Apostle Paul. And honestly, without Barnabas, we might not have the Apostle Paul. His influence is so great. His encouragement is so great that without him, we may not know Paul, at least not the way that we know him today. Barnabas is mentioned roughly 30 times in the New Testament, and many of those are before he and Paul went on their first missionary journey. And I want to look at four times, in fact, the first four times, that Barnabas shows up in the Scriptures with you. They're all in the book of Acts. You can follow along using the QR codes on your virtual bulletin or on the screen behind me, or you can play sword drills and try to keep up with me in your Bible, paper or digital. Either way, we take a look at the life of Barnabas in the book of Acts and see what it means to influence through encouragement. And we begin the very first time we meet Barnabas in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, the end of the chapter is the very first time that we meet Barnabas, and the church has been growing exponentially in the city of Jerusalem and Israel because they are committed to living life in a whole different way, a brand new kind of way, where they're loving their neighbors and they're healing the sick and they're giving of what they have to bless other people, and it's getting them noticed by the people of Jerusalem, and the people of Jerusalem are coming to the church and they're becoming Christians in rapid succession. And it's during this time where the church is just kind of taking off and beginning to flourish that we meet Barnabas in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. Here's how he gets the name Barnabas. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of what? Encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Joseph becomes Barnabas right before our very eyes. He's never called Joseph again. It's only Barnabas from here on out. The son of encouragement. Why? Because he sold a field and he laid the money at the apostles' feet. In other words, he is generous. And friends, encouragers are generous. Encourages are generous. If you want to be an influencer who encourages other people, begin with generosity. Encourages are generous. I don't know much about Barnabas' finances. I don't know if this was a spare field. I don't know if he has 30 fields. I don't know if it's his only field. Honestly, it really doesn't matter. Well, here's what I know. What he had, he was willing to give. What he had, he was willing to give. He was generous. That's the definition of generosity. A willingness to share what is yours with somebody else for their blessing, for their betterment. And for this, he is named Son of Encouragement. Son of Encouragement by the apostles. I have no idea what the apostles would nickname me, but I doubt I get that good of a nickname. But Barnabas gets Son of Encouragement. What a great nickname. The Encourager Boy, if he were a superhero. That's who he would be. Because he is generous, and generosity is one of the easiest ways to encourage someone else. Listen, it doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be mountains and mountains of cash. But it does have to be genuine. If we're going to encourage people through generosity, our generosity does have to be genuine. Jesus points out to his disciples one time, all of the great men of faith who are bringing large sums of money to the collection plates in the temple, but he points out to them a widow who brought just two copper coins because she was generous and authentic and genuine with what she had to give while everyone else was just doing it for show. I really appreciate, Doc, I don't know if you'll remember this, but before I went into the ministry, Rich took me out for lunch at McDonald's, and he told me stories about my dad that I don't think I'd ever heard about my dad in ministry, and told me that dad insisted on a regular basis when dad and Rich would go out, that dad would get the bill for that. Even though, you know, he didn't have to do that, dad insisted. And Doc, you told me something that has never, never left my mind. That if you reach for your wallet, you better mean it. Don't fake reach for your wallet. Be generous and be genuine with your generosity. And I appreciate that lesson that you gave me that day in McDonald's. When I think of people who are generous, it doesn't necessarily have to be with money. We can be generous with our time. We can be generous with our talents. We can be generous with our treasures, our possessions. We can be generous with the tales of faith that we have lived and passed them on to a next generation. When I think of generosity, I think of guys like Steve Mathis, who's generous with his time. He pulled apart my old crappy Mustang and helped me fix it, and I've already forgotten everything he taught me, but that's okay. They don't make cars like that anymore. But I appreciate that generosity and the generosity, the genuine generosity of people in this congregation. That's the first time we meet Barnabas. He is influencing by encouraging. He's encouraging by being generous. Encouragers are generous. Well, here's the second time we meet Barnabas. Let's skip ahead to Acts chapter 9. A lot has happened in between Acts chapter 4 and chapter 9. Most specifically, a great persecution has risen up against the church in the form of a man by the name of Saul. Saul has become a great persecutor of the church. He's gone around Jerusalem and around Israel arresting Christians and harassing Christians. He's even now getting outside of Israelite territory, and he's going to Damascus to persecute the church in Damascus. And you may know this story where Jesus encounters Saul on the road to Damascus. And there a light from heaven blinds Saul and knocks him off of his horse onto the ground. And he encounters the resurrected Jesus. And his life is transformed. And he gives his self over to Jesus. He's baptized. And he's healed of his blindness. And he immediately wants to begin ministering in the church. And that's a problem because yesterday he was locking up Christians. I don't know about you, but if Saul shows up to the front door of your church, you're probably looking for the back door of your church at that moment. I don't know if I would be ready to accept Saul walking into church, and Saul almost doesn't get started in ministry except for Barnabas, the great encourager. Acts chapter 9, verses 26, 27, 28, here's what's written there. When he, that is Saul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, go figure, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them, moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. Encouragers stand up for others. Encouragers are generous, and encouragers stand up for others. No one would take a chance on Saul. Would you? With his reputation? But Barnabas does. Barnabas stands up for Saul. He tells Saul's story. He testifies to the truth of it. He puts his own reputation on the line so that this guy could get started in ministry. Who will you stand up for? Who will you be a Barnabas to? Who will you influence and encourage by taking a stand for them? Will you stand up for so many of our sisters whose voices are often kept hushed and hidden behind the scenes? Will you stand up for Black and Asian brothers and sisters who are telling us of the hardship and the suffering that they face even in our own nation today? Will you stand up for millennials and for Gen Z young people as they want a seat at the table, as they want to learn to lead, as they want to do good things for the kingdom and have been so often marginalized and made the butt of so many jokes by older generations? Will you stand up for the persecuted church around the world instead of playing the part of the persecuted. We need American Christians to stand up for those who actually are persecuted and tell their stories. Who will you stand up for? Barnabas stands up for Saul. And as it turns out, Saul will be Barnabas's greatest legacy. Who will you stand up for? Who will be your legacy? Who will continue the ministry after you're gone? Who can you pass the baton to? And it doesn't matter if they do it your way. It doesn't matter if they do ministry the same way that you would, so long as you stand up for them so that their voice can be heard, so that they have an opportunity for the kingdom's work. I am reminded of a story from years ago when I was in college. A group of my friends from Great Lakes came up to Kalkaska and they were a band, and they led worship at KCC years ago. And this is before this is what worship looked like on Sunday mornings. This whole rock thing in church was a little new to KCC. And my dad told me the story on the way out. He stopped Mariel Weese's and said, Mariel, how did you enjoy service today? And Mariel looked at him and said, I love that those young people love Jesus. It wasn't the music Mariel would have chosen, but it was the heart that she would have wanted to see in them. Stand up for people, even if they don't do it the same way that you would do it. Who will you stand up for? Who will be your legacy? Encouragers are generous. Encouragers stand up for people. Well, what's next? The third time that we meet Barnabas is in Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, the persecution against the church has grown again, and it has begun to push the church beyond the city of Jerusalem and beyond the nation of Israel. And the gospel is beginning to come to non-Israelite people, to the Greek people, specifically in the city of Antioch. And hearing about this, the apostles want to know what's going on. And so this is the story. It's Acts chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. And this is our longest passage of the day. It reads like this. News of this, of the ministry in Antioch, reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas. They sent Barnabas to Antioch, and when he arrived, he saw what the grace of God had done. And he was glad and encouraged, of course he did, encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of the people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I love this. When Barnabas gets to Antioch and he sees what's going on, the very first thing that he thinks to do is, I've got to get some more people involved in this. And so he goes to find Saul and he brings him back to Antioch. Of course he does. He's an encourager. And encouragers build partnerships. Encouragers build partnerships. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. And even he had Tonto, right? We need Christians who are willing to build partnerships with other people. Barnabas does not seek his own glory. He seeks partners for the ministry of the church. I'm so tired of Christians who want to elevate themselves and their own ministry. Shouldn't we rather, in partnership with one another, be elevating Christ and His kingdom? We need people who will be influential encouragers by building partnerships for the good of the kingdom. Who are you getting involved in ministry? Who are you reaching out to and saying, hey, come to Antioch with me. Come and see what God is doing and come be a part of it. Let me teach you. Let me get you involved. Let's work side by side. Who is that for you? Whoever that is, that's your disciple. Remember, Jesus told us to go make some of them? Go and make disciples. This is how we do it. by building partnerships, by training them to do the work that we do, by bringing them to where the work is, and then encouraging them to continue the work after we're gone. We believe in partnership in the church. Kalkaska Church of Christ does not exist because of one person, any one person. Not my father, not any minister before him, not any other one person. Kalkaska Church of Christ exists because it was built in partnership. Because of ministers working together with each other, because of ministers working together with wonderful elders, because of elders and ministers working together with the congregation, because men and women worked together, because Sunday school teachers and Bible class leaders and VBS volunteers and home group leaders all partnered together to build God's kingdom. We believe in partnership. It's what builds the kingdom. And it's interesting to note here, by the way, that for the very first time, believers were called Christian, which literally means little Christ. For the very first time, believers were called Christian. The people saw that they looked enough like Jesus to call them little Christs in Antioch. And I got to believe that that was because of Barnabas, because of his work of bringing people together for the sake of God's kingdom, just like Jesus did when he walked the earth. Encouragers are generous. Encouragers take a chance on others. Encouragers build partnerships. And there's one more thing that encouragers, every encourager worth their salt, will do. Again, we turn our attention to Barnabas. This is some time later. I know we like to think of like all the events of Acts happening in a week, but it really is like decades that the book of Acts takes place over. And so this is some time later in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, we find Barnabas and Saul still in Antioch. And this is what we read in the first few verses of Acts chapter 13. It happens just before Barnabas and Saul begin their missionary journey. In fact, this is how they begin their missionary journey. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. We normally think of Barnabas and Saul as these great evangelists who went and changed the world, and they were. But before they did that, before they were world-changing evangelists, they were simply people who were seeking God together. Encouragers seek God together. If you want to be someone who is an influential encourager in the church, it begins by being someone who seeks God with the church. Barnabas and Paul go on to transform the ancient world and set the tone for Christianity for the next 2,000 years. But first and foremost, they worshiped together. They fasted together. They prayed together. They sought a deeper relationship with God, and they did it together. There's nothing wrong with personal acts of worship. I encourage you to participate in personal acts of worship. But we must never neglect seeking God together. That's why the New Testament tells us not to forsake meeting together. It's why the New Testament tells us to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Yes, our songs are praise to God, but our songs are also encouragement to each other. It's why the New Testament calls on us to pray for the saints again and again and again and again, because these things are encouragement. And we need encouragement. And we need to encourage others. And we begin by seeking God together. We need more people like Barnabas. We need people who will influence through encouragement. We need people who will stake their reputations on encouragement. We need more sons of encouragement and daughters of encouragement in the church. So how can you do that? How can you be a Barnabas? Be generous. Stand up for others. Build partnerships. Seek God together with other believers. Commit to those things, and you will have a great influence as an encourager in the church and beyond. The writer of Hebrews, whoever he or she may be, and their wisdom, gives us this nugget of truth in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, where they write, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." I love that verse. I love it because how often is it today? Well, it's always today, isn't it? When tomorrow gets here, what will tomorrow be? And the day after that, when it gets here, what will it be? Another day to encourage, right? As long as it's today, let's look for opportunities to encourage. So let me leave you with this. This week, on whatever today you happen to wake up to, would you look for opportunities to encourage others? Would you look for opportunities to be generous? Look for an opportunity to stand up for someone. Look for an opportunity to build a partnership. Look for an opportunity to seek God together. And through our encouragement of each other, we will influence the world for the kingdom of God. It's been a joy for me to share with you today. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Thank you for allowing the guys who are coming after me to come as well. I promise you they're better than I am. And thank you most of all for being a place that has encouraged me so much over the years. Continue, please, to encourage others. Let the Kalkaska Church of Christ be known as a place that encourages people for the kingdom of God. Our world is filled with a lot of negativity. Our world is filled with a lot of discouragement. Sometimes it makes us throw up our hands and say, "Oh, come, Lord Jesus." There's nothing wrong with saying, "Come, Lord Jesus." But until He does, or calls us home, may we be found to be faithful people, encouraging others for the sake of His kingdom. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank You for Your servant Barnabas. We thank You for this son of encouragement who through his words, through his actions, through his generosity, through his relationships, became an influencer, not just of Saul, but of Christians throughout the generations. And Father, as we think about influencing others around us, as we think about leaving a legacy and trying to help move the kingdom forward, help us to take seriously the Bible's call to be encouragers, to encourage one another daily, and to keep encouraging, just like Barnabas. Father, I thank You for this congregation. Pray Your blessing upon them as they continue to do the good work of encouragement here in Kalkaska and far beyond. In the name of Jesus, we all pray together. Amen.